Hey everyone, welcome back to this week's episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Colin Rohr, and like I mentioned last week, this week we're going to be continuing the discussion of the use of superheroes in therapy, more commonly known as superhero bibliotherapy. So last episode, we talked about why superhero bibliotherapy is effective and how it's particularly useful in the treatment of kids that experience parental loss. However, this week we're going to move on from that and talk about the other settings that superhero bibliotherapy is useful in, as well as some of the implications and limitations it has, so let's get into it. Another major use of superhero bibliotherapy actually lies within the classroom, in a teaching setting. This is different from before because these kids don't necessarily have any issues mentally, and instead of a treatment setting, superheroes are being used for education. In a paper written by Kathleen I. Harris, a teacher with over 20 years of experience on the use of superheroes in classroom settings, specifically with preschool children, stated some of the benefits of the practice. Harris had claimed that playing this role has given confidence to a child who felt inadequate and believed that his brother was smarter and stronger, increased language and communication skills in a somewhat shy child who did not really participate with peers during playtime, and introduced sensitivity to individual differences among children interacting with a peer who had a disability. Superheroes gave my early childhood classroom voice and community. This quote from Harris is incredibly useful because many children at this young age don't know how to properly socialize and might have difficulties doing so. So not only is this effective because it serves a fun method to teach kids proper behavior and developmental concepts, but it could help sort out some issues that the child is having, mentioned by Harris, like shyness or a lack of confidence. This makes a pretty good argument for the use of superheroes in classrooms, and this, coupled with the discussion from the previous episode, superheroes are overall a very effective tool when utilized properly with the treatment or development of children. That being said, there are still some drawbacks to superhero bibliotherapy. Continuing with the discussion with Harris, superhero play in education is being questioned for the effectiveness. In today's educational system, there's much more standardized testing than there was in the past, and because of that, many teachers are supposedly cutting out free play time, which could be used for superhero play, to engage in more academically rigorous and helpful activities that will prepare students for these tests. Now, this is a very unfortunate downside because of the potential benefits that superheroes could have for kids, but testing is getting in the way. Additionally, this practice is really only effective with young children. Superhero bibliotherapy would not be very effective among children that are above the age of 11 or 12, and this is simply because young children are much more susceptible to influence, but as kids get older and mature, they're more likely to grow out of superheroes, or at least to that point where it wouldn't really be effective in overcoming childhood trauma or teaching them social skills. But with all that said, beyond the effectiveness of superheroes and just children, superheroes are good at inspiring cultural, social, and personal change. Mark A. Schroll wrote a paper discussing how certain moments or decisions made by superheroes can challenge societal constructs and inspire change. He specifically mentioned that how in the first Avengers movie, it was about a group of superpowered people with completely different personalities, and they come together to save the world, showing that people can overcome adversity and band together. And another instance that could relate to this is the Wonder Woman movie, highlighting an incredibly powerful lead female character superhero, serving to empower women and inspire confidence. So while it is true that superhero bibliotherapy does have some limitations, it's very clear that the effectiveness of this is greatly outweighs the downsides to it. So that's going to wrap it up for this short 2-week series on superhero bibliotherapy. I think we can all come to the conclusion that superhero bibliotherapy is a very useful tool that can help children in both therapy and school. And so with that said, tune in next time and I'll talk to y'all later.